Tonight's message is Do It Afraid. And so the last time I was here a month ago, we talked about Jesus' crucifixion and some of the prayers that Jesus prayed during his crucifixion. His last words about Jesus' crucifixion and some of the prayers that Jesus prayed during his crucifixion. His last words in Luke 23, verse 46, were, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. Now, a man of wealth, Joseph of Arimathea, in Luke 23, verses 50 through 54, asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. He took it down, he wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a new tomb. And the first day of the week, Luke chapter 24, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They were going to anoint the body of Jesus. When they went to the tomb, they found that the stone was rolled away and the body of Jesus was not there. And two men, two angels appeared to the women and said what? "He is not here. He has risen." Verse 6. "He has risen." And so the women went and told the 11 that Jesus had risen from the dead. But verse 11 of Luke 24, it says, "They did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense." You know, there was a sense of despair and hopelessness amongst the disciples of Jesus. The mindset almost was like, man, Jesus has died. It's finished. He is no more. And they couldn't believe the women. They couldn't believe it that Jesus had arisen from the dead. Now remember the two disciples, Cleopas and the other disciple, that were going toward Emmaus. Their faces were downcast, Luke 24, verse 17. Jesus appeared to them, but they did not recognize him. He was talking with them. It's only when he was at the table with them, took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave them the bread, that their eyes were opened, and these two disciples, Cleopas and the other, recognized that it was Jesus, that Jesus had been raised to life. So these two disciples went to the 11 in Jerusalem and were talking about the resurrection of Jesus, that Jesus indeed had defeated death, that he was alive, that it was true. Jesus had risen. And so when those two disciples, Cleopas and the other, and the 11 disciples were talking about this, Jesus appears to them at this place in Jerusalem. And he says, "Peace be with you." They thought he was a ghost. Luke 24, verse 37. He says, "Why are you troubled and why do doubts rise in your minds?" They doubted still that Jesus had really risen from the dead. Remember what Jesus promised the disciples in Matthew chapter 17, verses 22 and 23. He said that he would be taken into the hands of men. He would be killed, but on the third day, he would be raised to life. Jesus promised the disciples in Matthew 17, verses 22 and 23, that on the third day, he would be raised to life. But it's like the disciples had doubts. Their doubts were holding them back, were paralyzing them from fully accepting in their hearts that Jesus had arisen to life. And then it says in Luke 24, it says that in verse 39 that he showed him his hands and his feet and he said, "Touch me and see, a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." And then they were overjoyed and amazed. They couldn't believe their eyes. It was like, this is too good to be true. And then in verse 41 of Luke 24, to give them further evidence that Christ was alive, he said, "Do you have something to eat?" And they gave him some broiled fish. See, they were like hopeless. These disciples at one point, we see from Luke 24, verse 11, they were hopeless. They were downcast. They were sorrowing. They thought that Jesus was no more. But when he appeared to them and he showed them his hands and his feet and he asked them for food, he proved to them that he was resurrected from the grave. He proved to them that he was stronger than death, that he had defeated death. He turned their hopelessness into hope, a confident expectation that there is life beyond the grave. Jesus gave them hope, a confident expectation that there is eternal life after death for those who have put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ. He gave them hope, this confident expectation that he was the spiritual redeemer of the people of God, that he was the spiritual Messiah, not a political Messiah as they were expecting. You know, they were expecting a political Messiah that would break the oppression of Rome off their backs. But Jesus did not come as a political Messiah. Jesus came as a spiritual Messiah to break the oppression of sin off of our lives. He turned their despair to hope, confident expectation that there is life beyond the grave. And I'm here to tell you tonight, friends, that there is life beyond the grave. After you leave this earth, you will step into eternity. The question is, will you spend it with God or not? You can be assured tonight, if you don't know, that you can spend eternity with God in heaven forever one day by placing your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So, remember what we talked about a few moments ago. What did Jesus promise the disciples before he was crucified in Matthew chapter 17? What promise did he give to them? In Matthew 17, verses 22 and 23. He promised them that he would be raised back to life after he was crucified, right? And they had a hard time believing the women's words. They doubted in their minds, even after they saw the living Christ. So my question to you tonight is this. In your life, let's bring it home. Let's bring it home. Let's make it personal. Let's apply it. In your life, what promise has God made to you personally? God promised the disciples that after he was crucified, he would be raised back to life. What promise personally has God made for you, to you, for your life? Think about it. What has God told you in your prayer times from his word that he's going to do with you in this world and in the kingdom of God? Think about that. What promise has God made to you about your own personal life? You're not on this earth just to exist. You're not a mistake. You're not an accident just going somewhere to happen. If somebody told you you were an accident going somewhere to happen, they were being inspired of the devil, because the devil is a liar and the father of lies. You're on this earth with a God-given divine destiny and purpose. Is that good news here tonight? And God has got something for you to do on this earth and in the kingdom of God. What promise has God made to you personally for your life? Has he told you that maybe you should further your education? Or has he told you that, promised you that he would bring a significant other, a spouse, into your life? Has God promised you that he would give you better housing than where you're at right now? Has God told you that he would put you in his ministry where you'd be sharing the gospel one-on-one or with groups of two or more? What promise has God made to you personally? Is it possible, like the disciples, that doubt and fear has held you back from his promise being fulfilled in your life? Have you allowed doubt and fear to paralyze you, to stop you from moving forward, from advancing with the thing, with the promise that God has given you personally for your life? What has God promised you? You know that ungodly fear is from the devil. It's a paralyzing force. It's the opposite of faith. But faith is of God. You know, God may have talked to you about furthering your education, maybe a technical degree, maybe a nursing degree, and you might have thought, well, you know what, I won't have enough money, finances to finish. So you feared lack and you never did anything with it. Or maybe he brought somebody into your life and you thought, man, she might reject me, she might think I'm stupid, and you never pursued it for fear of rejection. Or, you know, I can't sign a 12-month apartment lease because I may not have enough hours at work. Fear. Fear. You know, I can't get up and share the gospel. Are they going to think I'm crazy when I share the gospel or teach the word of God? Fear of men. You cannot allow fear to paralyze you. Away with fear. Fear will try to imprison you. It will try to paralyze you from advancing with the special thing that God has for your life. Amen. Or maybe tonight you are like Peter, who stepped out into the deep by faith. We're going to read about that here in just a second. He stepped out of the boat into the deep by faith. And when the going got tough, fear gripped him. He was paralyzed and began to sink. Let's read Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, the incident of Peter on the Sea of Galilee. Remember, Jesus had fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. 12 basketfuls were left over. Matthew 14, 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Verse 25, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. On the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. Again, they thought it was a ghost. It's a ghost, they said. And they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Verse 29 of Matthew 14. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. Verse 30. But when he saw the wind, the obstacle, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith. He said, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. So maybe tonight you find yourself in Peter's position, where God made a promise to you personally, something he was wanting you to do with your life. And maybe you stepped out on a limb. Maybe you started stepping out of the boat by faith into the deep, and started walking upright on the water. Maybe you started that educational path and quit in the middle of it out of fear of how difficult the academics might become. The academics maybe were becoming tougher and you're like, man, I can't do this, and you quit in the middle of it. That wind came against you like it came against Peter, and you quit in the middle of the promise God had given to you, friends. Maybe you asked her out, and after the first rejection, you doubted the relationship. You stepped out of the boat into the deep. You asked her out. She rejected you. And out of fear of rejection, you gave up and you started to sink. Maybe you shared the gospel with a group at one time. And maybe there was no response at the end. And out of fear of rejection, fear of failure, you didn't try again. Friends, you need to step out of the boat like Peter stepped out of the boat. You need to step on the waters. You need to keep your eyes on Jesus. You need to keep your eyes on the promise. Even when the wind comes, you see the wind came and it drove fear into the heart of Peter. He started concentrating on that negative circumstance, that wind. And when he did that and became afraid, he started to sink. He was walking toward Jesus. He was walking toward the promise. The obstacle came. The wind came. He focused on it. He took his eyes off Jesus, and he began to sink in the waters, but Jesus saved him. He cried out to Jesus, "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" He reached out his hand, and he caught Peter. What has God called you to do with your life? You need to step out of the boat into the deep by faith. And when you step out and start pursuing the promise that God has given you, there's going to be some obstacles, some winds that come across your path. Don't look at the wind. Don't focus on the wind. Don't focus on the storm. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Away with paralyzing fear and doubt. So how to overcome? How do you overcome this paralyzing fear in order to fulfill God's promise for your life? Say it with me tonight. God has got a plan for my life in Jesus' name. Amen. How to overcome paralyzing fear in order to fulfill God's promise for your life. Remember, that ungodly fear, that paralyzing fear is not from God. It is from the devil. That fear is the opposite of faith. Faith is from God. And so, how do you overcome this paralyzing fear? First of all, you got to pray to God and say, "God, what are you wanting to do with my life?" Philippians 4:6, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, make your requests be known unto God." Just cry out to God in the morning, tonight after you leave this place, and say, "God, you know, what are you wanting me to do with my life? I know, God, that I'm not a mistake. God, I am not an accident. God, you've placed me on this earth with a purpose. You've got something for me to do in this world and in the body of Christ. You've got something for me to do with my life in the here and now. God, what is it that you're wanting to do with my life?" Just cry out to God, pray to God, and I guarantee you that God will answer you. And don't be full of regret. You might be like, "Man, I know that last year God spoke to me about something he was wanting me to do and I didn't do it." Remember this: God is the God of another chance. He does not give up on us. Amen. He gave Jonah a second chance to preach to Nineveh. Say with me tonight, God is the God of another chance. In Jesus' name. Amen. Don't let the enemy hold you back through regret. "Man, I would have, I could have, I should have, you know, a month ago or 6 months ago or a year ago or 2 years ago, I know that God spoke to me and I didn't do it." Well, guess what? God has not given up on you. He is the God of another chance. Just say it to yourself all the time. Like God gave Jonah another chance to preach to Nineveh, God is going to give me another chance. God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God that gave him, Jonah, another chance is willing to give you another chance with your life to fulfill the promise that he has got for you. So pray to God. What is God wanting you to do? What promise does God have for you? Pray. Hear from God. And then write down what God is telling you. Write it down. Write it down with pen on a paper. What you feel God is telling you to do with your life. And then after you write it down, take the first step. Like Peter did in Matthew chapter 14, take that first step out of the boat into the deep by faith in God, because God is faithful. God has got your life in the palm of his hands. God will not let you go. You're not going to drown. Take the first step into the deep by faith in God. In other words, we have a saying, do it afraid. Say it tonight. I am going to do it afraid. Because God has got my back. In Jesus' name. God is faithful. God has got your back. You're not gonna drown. He's going to be there right with you. Keep your eyes on God. Keep your eyes on Jesus, not on the obstacle, not on the wind, not on the waves. Just keep your eyes on Jesus, on that promise, and it will be fulfilled in your life. We serve the God of the impossible. He specializes in taking seemingly impossible situations and making them possible. Again, we serve a miracle-working God who never changes. He is always the same. If He made a promise to you, He is not a man that He should lie. His promises will come to pass, but you've got to do something in the natural for the supernatural power of God to go into effect in your life. What do you do in the natural? You take the first step out of that boat, into the deep, by faith, knowing that God has got your back. Keep your eyes on Jesus. I want to read you this illustration here about a little boy who trusted his dad so instinctively. Some scientists in Scotland offered a boy a handsome sum of money if he would allow himself to be let down by a rope over a cliff in a precipitous mountain gorge. The boy longed for the money, for he was poor. But when he looked down into the 200-foot chasm, he said no. After further persuasion, he said, "I will go if my father holds the rope." That is faith. He had confidence in his father. He believed in his father, and by an act of the will, he allowed his father to fasten the rope around him and let him down. Who's holding your rope? Father God is holding your rope. He's got your back. He's on that water with you. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. What has God spoken to you? Fear tries to paralyze. It tries to hold you back from advancing in the thing that God has called you to do. It puts you kind of like in a prison if you meditate on the doubt, on the fear. But faith does the opposite. It believes. It's a knowing that you know deep down on the inside that what God has promised to you, He will make come to pass. But you've got to do something in the natural as well, like Peter did in Matthew 14. He stepped out of the boat. Say it tonight. I will, in Jesus' name, with God's help, step out of the boat and walk toward the thing, the promise that God has for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. You've got to do it afraid. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because he who comes to God must believe that God exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If it's impossible to please God without faith, then that means that with God, with faith, it is possible to please him. If it's impossible to please God without faith, that means that with faith, right? Hebrews 11, it is possible to please God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. I want to please God. How about you? How about you? Then we've got to be walking by faith in God, knowing that we know deep down on the inside that God is faithful, that God has got our back. He is not a man that he should lie. Amen? Amen. Don't let fear hold you back. Start walking toward your destiny in Jesus' name. And as you were listening tonight, you might have thought, well, you know what? I've never even accepted Jesus as my Savior in my life. But tonight I want to do so for the first time. If you've never accepted Jesus, but tonight for the first time you're wanting to accept him, raise your hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. If you've never done it, but you want to do it tonight, sir, I see your hand up. Is this your first time salvation or recommitment? Recommitment? You wanting to recommit to Jesus? Do you want to accept Jesus for the first time? Okay. Anybody else for the first time wanting to accept for the very first time? You've never done it before, but tonight you're wanting to accept Jesus. If that's you, raise your hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. First time salvation, stand up, sir. You can recommit. I'll get there in just a minute. Anybody else for the first time wanting to accept Jesus? All right. Maybe you accepted Jesus, but maybe you got upset with God. Maybe you got upset with somebody, and you've walked away from Jesus. But tonight, you want to recommit. You want to re-give. You want to rededicate your life back to Jesus Christ. If that's you, raise your hand. I saw that man's hand, sir. He was wanting to recommit his life to Jesus. This guy right here next to Skip, yeah. This man right here, stand up. This young man right here in the green shirt, stand up. Anybody else wanting to re-give your life to Jesus tonight? Don't be afraid, don't be ashamed. All right. If you want to follow their lead, remember this, the next hour is not guaranteed you. If you were to step into eternity in the next hour, do you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you'd be in heaven with Jesus forever? If you don't know, you need to know tonight. If God is whispering to you by His Holy Spirit, don't ignore His voice. Do what God is telling you to do. All right. Anybody else want to follow their lead tonight? Those standing up, come forward. Come forward. Anybody else want to follow their lead? Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. All right. Just come forward to the altar. All right. Those standing up, repeat this prayer. Say, Dear Jesus, I thank you for dying upon the cross for my sins. I followed you at one time, but I've slipped away. I've said and done some bad things. But tonight, I say I'm sorry. I change my mind from going my way to going your way only. Again, be my Savior and my Lord, the one in full charge of every part of my life. Jesus, I love you. I thank you that when I leave this earth, I'll be in heaven with you. Give me the strength every day while I live on this earth to follow you. I look forward to seeing you face to face one day. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. The angels in heaven are rejoicing over this decision. And for those of you who came forward tonight, there's certain things you can do in your spiritual lives to remain close to Jesus. If you go to church services, get into the Word, all right? Pray to God on a consistent basis. Read this Bible, not once in a blue moon, but every single day, all right? Find some good, solid Christian friends. May God richly bless you. And is this brother here going to close off the service? Come on up, brother.